You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here we are
studying this great book of Hebrews. Ralph. Now, way of review, we're going to be in chapter 11. And backing up a bit, we're going to start at verse 1 of chapter 11. Should be page 1047 if you're using a pew Bible. Chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And this chapter normally is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. It speaks about all these Old Testament saints or Old Covenant saints, and they weren't really like we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but they were blessed of God to be able to believe Him, and by faith they did what they did all the way unto death. In chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, if you're with me, say amen. And he begins to speak about this faith. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I love that. He's talking about the faith that we have in for us in Jesus Christ. And a lot of times when I speak to someone, especially if they don't know who Christ is, they will tell me, "Well, I need something more tangible. I need something I can hold, something I can see." And guys, the Hebrew writer is trying to help us understand that faith really is tangible. It's something in my heart, and I'm holding on to it in my heart. He says it is the substance of things hoped for. And listen, he's talking about the belief I have. That's very tangible. And the evidence of things not seen. And listen, I don't have it. I don't see it. But God promised it. And for that reason, I'm going to believe it. Just like the elders of the old covenant. There's a verse in James chapter 2, verse 18b, and he says, I will show thee my faith by my works. And again, tangible. I believe on Christ, and because of that, my life is different. I'm not the same as I was before. I live differently. I live righteously because of the finished works of Christ. And though I can't take my faith and put it in your hands, you can see my faith by the way I live my life here in this land. It's not the same as it was before. And again, what I live by is faith. He goes on in chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "For by it," again talking about this faith we have, "the elders obtained a good report." And look, again, they weren't at the time indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but they believed God no matter what. Whatever came down the pike, I'm believing God. You want me to go here, I'm believing God. And God, we ought to be even more so than they were. He goes on in verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, and we know from Genesis, from the creation account in Genesis, that God spoke this world into existence. There was nothing, and God said, "No, I am calling the heavens and earth," and nothing became something, because God, who's all-powerful, all-knowing, and can do all things, said it to be. And whatever God says, it always comes to pass. He says in verse 3 again, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things that do appear." He goes on in verse 4, beginning to talk about Adam's sons. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh." And guys, here we are in 2024, and we're talking about Adam and Eve's sons, and we know that one gave God what he asked, what he required, and one gave God, which it very well may have been his best, could have been better than Abel's. But it was not what God required. We don't come up with something and say, "Well, I know God says this, but I'm going to give him this because I think this is better." No, God knows better than us. He's wiser than us. And what he requires is what he wants from us. And he doesn't want a door-to-door survey or us running here and doing that in order to prove that we love him. He simply says, receive my son Jesus Christ and then be obedient to what I call you to do in corporate worship, in giving, or whatever my scripture says, you do that and the rest of it is going to be okay. And they did that by faith. We see in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. He goes on, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And we love the fact that Enoch was righteous before God and so righteous in everything he did, he pleased God. And God walked him from the earthly, from the physical, right on into his heaven. He never tasted death. His body was never found. And his testimony, simply put, it wasn't that I gave a bunch of money. It wasn't that I built buildings. It wasn't that I talked to a lot of people. I did what God asked me to do, and it pleased him. And by the way, same God, he's still asking us to do what he asked. To please him. He's not even asking us to put any cherries on the top. Simply be obedient to what I've called you to do. That's why I always say the Christian life, at least for me, is simple. If I do what God asked me to do, I'm going to be okay. And generally what I find is that when God tells me to do something, though it might physically sometimes seem like it's not going to work, though it seems like I shouldn't, I don't really want to do it, I don't care what I feel like. If God says do it, I need to do it because he is in charge of all things, the creator of the universe, the savior of my soul. So I need to do it. Man, because I need him to please me. And get, listen, I'd love you guys to please. I'd love to please you guys. I would. But if I please him, everything else is going to be taken care of, and I won't even have to worry about it. Amen? Amen. He goes on in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And take note, he doesn't say that it's hard to please him. He says it is impossible to please him. And I can explain that more, but the verse explains it better. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, number one, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And listen, if we do what God tells us to do, and we do it without mumbling and grumbling, and we do it because we actually believe God, and we believe who he is, somehow, guys, everything is going to be okay. Please be prayerful with me as I continue in this sermon series. Christ alone is worthy. And Father, as we dive deeper into this book, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll touch and bless, Lord, me, your servant for the hour. And Father, I know what you have given me to speak to these guys. And Lord, I'm going to speak it as you gave it to me. But Lord, I can't make anybody believe. I can't get anybody saved. I really can't change nobody's mind. But Lord, through these verses, through your truth, Lord, you can place these in our hearts and you can change our mind. You can save our souls. You can bless us with some spiritual understanding that we did not have before. And Father God, you can take us even from the kingdom of darkness and into your marvelous light. Father, school us today. Give us your wisdom today. Answer our questions today. And Father God, if you would, please heal us today as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. And amen. Verse 7 of chapter 11. He goes on. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. In other words, what we're seeing from Noah is faith in action. God gave him a commission, and he fulfilled it. He says, move with fear. And I love that word. He's not saying, whoa, let me do this because God's going to kill me. He said, no, I reverence the God of glory, and because he said it, though I can't see it all or even how it's going to play out, I'm going to do what he told me to do. It says, move with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which it says he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And look, him and his family were the only ones that were saved from the flood. And by the way, he built this thing for 120 years. He built it, and him and his family, he got the lumber. He used God's specifications. He put this thing together. And I dare say his neighbors, man, had to have been coming at him and asking, Noah, what you doing? I'm building a boat, building an ark. We're not near any water. What are you doing that for? Because God told me to. And by the way, it's going to rain. You know it rained. At that time, look, all the grounds were being watered by underwell springs that were coming up. They had never rained before. And I'm sure they ridiculed him day after day. Oh, that's old crazy Noah. Look at him. He over there building, knocking and nailing on that thing, making all kinds of noise. There's a verse out of Genesis chapter 6. Verse 3, and it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. In other words, crazy Noah, you might be crazy about the Lord, but in 120 years, it is going to rain, and I'm going to do away with this thing. And thank God Noah was obedient to God and did not listen to man. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after it be received for an inheritance, it says, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. And again, God told him, Noah, go to a land. Noah said, where are we going? God said, a land which I will show you. He got up. He got his people. He got his servants, he got his wife, he got his bag and baggage, and said, Lord, okay, which direction do you want me to go? Again, faith. Faith in action. Obedience to God, knowing that whatever I have, even my life, I would not have it unless the Lord of glory was the one that gave it to me. And because of that, I'm going to do what he says. And guys, we ought to have that same kind of attitude. God says it. In his word, he left us 66 books. They didn't have that advantage. And look, if my life some kind of way is not lining up to what the book says, if I read something and it says, and I know I'm doing contrary, then I don't cross it out of the Bible. I don't rewrite the word. I cross it out of my life and I change my direction. And I do that by the same way that Abraham and that Noah and that Enoch did. They lived by faith. Speaking about Abraham, verse 9, it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs, it says, with him of the same promise. In other words, though God made that promise to him, it was going to be passed down to his descendants. And again, he's looking and he's traveling. He didn't build a brick home. He's living in tents because he knew in his heart of hearts what he seeked and what he sought. It wasn't going to be found on this earth. In verse 10 it says, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In other words, not of this earth. And Abraham knew that in his heart of hearts. Guys, many times in our time, even now, we say, well, we move here. I like the way the weather is there. Or we'll go over here. I like how things are set up there. And we get there and we're there for a couple of years and say, well, I don't like this either. Man, as a believer, you're not going to find heaven here on this earth. And look, we want to live as peacefully as we can, as comfortably as we can. But if you're going and doing in accordance with God is leading you, you're going to be okay. But please know that when I leave, I'm not taking nothing. When you leave, you're not taking nothing. When we leave, we're taking our spirits and our souls, and we're going to forever be with the Lord. So don't look for heaven here, but you want to look for a godly leading as you travel on this earth, just like he did. He says in verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Through faith, it says also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And again, God promised them that they were going to have a child between the two of them, even in their old age. And in fact, when Sarah first heard it, she laughed within herself. Wasn't even audible. And God asked Abraham, praise God, asked Abraham, he said, why did your wife laugh? And even though she didn't laugh out loud, he heard it. And God, by the way, he hears everything. He heard her laughing, knew what the attitude was. And by the way, there were some ups and downs in regard to that. When God promised them the child, his wife figured that maybe we ought to help him out. You go lay with my handmaiden. That's what we do. That's what they did in the world. And that turned out to be what we used to call a Donnybrook. It messed a whole bunch of things up when they had Ishmael, but God's promise was still true. God's promise was still sure. It says in verse 12, therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead. In other words, he should not have been able to father a child. She should not have been able to mother one. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And again, God promised it, and he brought it to pass, guys. There are a whole lot of things that are impossible for man, but with God, there's nothing impossible. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And we need to be obedient to him in regard to what he says he's going to do. He goes on in verse 13. These all died in faith. And he's talking about all these Old Testament or Old Covenant saints. It says, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded, it says of them, and embraced them. In other words, they made it their own. We ought to make God's word, his truth, our own, and walk in it as well. It says, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. In other words, they realize that, man, I'm not going to find what I'm looking for here. And listen, on a lot of levels, even us, man, we're dissatisfied with different various things. There are some things we think, if I can get this, I'll be okay. If I can get that, I'll be okay. If I get millions, I'll be okay. Man, millionaires are going around still trying to figure out what to do next. Money can't do it. Things can't do it. And guys, beloved, it's a blessing to have a spouse. But guess what? From the eternal, they can't do it either. But there is a man, a God man, Christ Jesus, that he can work out all things. He can fix all things if we would simply turn to him. He works. Man, he works in my life. He will work in your life. And listen, the thing you're lacking, the thing you want oh so bad, the thing that you think, if I had this, I will be complete. That thing, hallelujah, that God thing is Christ Jesus and his Holy Spirit. He's the one. He makes it all well. And look, it don't matter how you're living. If you're living in squalor, if you're living with nothing, if you got millions, it doesn't matter. If you got Christ, you got it all. And he can fix all. And he can heal all. And he can make even living in the time we're living tolerable, even though we're being vexed by the sin we see and hear and read about. With Christ, we know we're going to be okay. How he's going to do it, I don't know. Abraham, get up and go. Abraham, where are we going? I don't know. God said, go. I'm going to be okay. Noah, you're building this boat. Man, ain't no water around here. I don't understand it. God said, do it. I'm going to do it. Enoch, where you walking to? I'm going with God. I'm following him. Where did Enoch go? He translated into the heavenlies. Because he was, hallelujah, so perfectly aligned with God in his life that everything worked out okay. Man, every week I see a miracle in my life. I do. And listen, I'm not talking about I'm 73, all of a sudden I'm 63. That's not what I'm talking about. But I see him doing things in my life that really should not be able to be done. I see his favor in every aspect of my life. I see him touch my dollars and cents. I see him touch my vehicles. I see him touch my marriage. I see him touch my body in regard to healing. And whatever I need, I go to him. And many times I gotta wait because we gotta wait on the Lord. But that's a wait worth waiting for. Because he makes me more like him, more dependent on him, and knowing I can't get it until he gives it, and it teaches me patience. And like James says, I let patience have her perfect work so that I'll be complete and entire, wanting nothing as we wait on the Lord. They knew that this earth was not their home. And listen, scripture tells us the just shall live by faith, and these indeed were living by faith. He says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Again, God, this place is not our home. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And of course, he's pointing toward a heavenly country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And listen, there's a verse out of Luke, and I read it last week. I'll read it this week as well. 9:62. No man, having put his hands in a plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, he's moving us forward, and he's taking us somewhere. And listen, I sometimes think about my past, especially my present past. We are talking about good old days before we even started the day. And many of them days in our minds, they were good. But man, we ain't seeing them days no more. I was thinking the other day, just sitting around pondering. And when I was in the Marine Corps, I spent 2 years, a little over 2 years in Hawaii. Man, that was the best duty I ever had in my life. And I remember how nice it was and how pleasant it was. And for years after I got out of the military, I always wanted to go back. But guys, even if I went back, I can't go back to that time. That's over. It was a camaraderie that I had with a group of guys for that time and that period, and it was for that time, and I relished it, and it was a good time. But guess what? I was unsaved, and if I died in Hawaii, I was going to hell. So it wasn't that good. And we can't remake the old times. And it's okay to have pleasant memories. But guys, if you're breathing, God's got something for you that's going to be better even than that. And ultimately, what I know is my time in heaven is going to be better than anything I have here on earth. Mark anything. He says in verse 16, but now, he says, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. I'm going to pause there for a second. I was just reminded of the children of Israel. As God, they were wandering around in the desert, and they said, why did Moses bring us out here? We were back in Egypt. We had the leeks and the onions. We are eating good. Guys, you were in slavery. They forget about that part. And God still had his hands on them. Verse 16, he said, but now, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had, look, prepared for them a city. And listen, he's prepared for them a city, and guess what? He's prepared one for us as well. And yes, it's a heavenly city, but even before we get there, he's got something in store for you right here. You're walking in his grace, you're blessed in his grace, and he will minister to you right where you live. And if you think about it, we are people that are much and well blessed of God, that he takes care of us and will always take care of his children and keep us safe from danger seen and unseen. for the unbeliever, the worst thing that can happen for them is to die, because that would mean that this life is over. But for the believer, when we die, we know it's going to be better. Unbelievers are living on a maybe, but believers are living on a promise from God that absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? He says in verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He goes on, verse 18, of whom it was said, and by the way, God said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, he was going to be the son of promise. Indeed, he was a miracle child. And God said that, look, everything is going to be numerable as the clouds, as the stars in the sky, and the sands on the earth from this son that you're going to have. But God said, Abraham, I need you to go and take that same son that I'm going to inhabit the faithful world in, and I need you to offer him a sacrifice to me. And man, in your head, especially as a father, as a parent, how are you going to work that out? And the only reason why you would do something like that is because, number one, you believe God, and by faith, somehow he's going to work this thing out. Because he sees an in and an out that we don't see. And not to mention, he can do the miraculous if he chooses. In verse 19, it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Guys, I would ask if you would, just mark that page right there. Put your bulletin there. And we're not going to look at all these instances, but this one we will. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 22. That's page 16 in your pew Bible. Genesis chapter 22. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to look at a few verses here. Genesis 22. And we begin our reading at verse 1 of chapter 22. If you're with me, please say amen. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. In other words, it's his time of testing. He calls on Abraham. Abraham answers. He says, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, he says again, which I will tell thee. In other words, we're going somewhere, and I'm going to show you exactly where to go. And at this time, Abraham had matured in Christ, had matured in God, truly believed him. At this time, or at this point of their lives, not only have Abraham given burnt offerings with animals, his son knew what this was all about as well, and he wasn't a kid. He was of age to say no. He goes on, verse 3.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.